John chapter number 1, I'm going to just read one verse tonight, and we're going to just try to preach and obey the Lord, and try to give you something that will encourage you. The Bible says this, stand with me if you will. They don't say that, but I made it sound like it said that, didn't it? The Bible says, stand with me if you will. Not really, don't. They don't say that, but if you'll stand with me, if you can, if you're able. And then we'll start. The Bible says this in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to preach on this thought, if I could. A visual aid. Anybody know what a visual aid is? A visual aid. A little help. To see something maybe that could help you understand. Maybe. Father, I pray that you'd help me. I sure do need you, Lord. I sure don't want to say nothing that hurt nobody. And God, I want to be a help to your people tonight. And I just ask you, if you would, to bless whatever said and done in this building. Thank you for the good singing we've already heard, the congregational singing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that songbook we got. I pray that you would bless that kind of singing. And I pray you'd bless the choir singing. And Lord, I want to thank you for what all you're doing. I want to thank you, Lord, for God, just what all you're doing. I know it ain't me. It ain't us. Lord, we know it's you. And I just want to thank you for it. And I pray you just keep doing it. And God, we'll just thank you and praise your holy name, for you are worthy. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. You can be seated. Thank you. I did want to make mention for those of you that was able, and you did park in the back parking lot this morning, I want to thank you. We needed that this morning. We still needed that. And next Sunday will be the same thing, and hopefully the following Sunday will be the same thing, and then the following Sunday it'll be the same thing. And we come out of the fellowship hall this morning after breakfast, and I want to mention that again. I liked it. Grits. But Scott, I don't care if they just instant grits. Get that gal a pack of grits this week. Amen. Even instant grits, okay? Instant grits is better than no grits. it was just so good. But we come out of the fellowship hall, and Sister Mary, she asked me, she says, are you about ready for the expansion? I said, for this growth? I said, yeah, I guess so. I think so. I don't feel like it right in here, but I think we are. In my mind, I'm ready to see God do whatever God wants to do. If He wants to send people in, I don't care that they half of them got to come from Folkestone. That don't bother me. I'm happy about that. I want y'all to know I'm real happy about that. And then Fernandina, I invited some folk the other day from Fernandina, from Yulee. They said, well, we appreciate the invitation, but we live in Yulee. I said, Yulee, Florida. I said, praise the Lord. I said, we got about 4 or 5 families come to our church from Yulee and Fernandina. And they're like, ooh, that didn't work. I'm more interested in getting in than getting out. And if we're just getting in, if you look for something good from the Lord, you'll be able to tell somebody about something good that you got from the Lord. Now, if you're looking for something, I'm fixing to play that bass guitar. If you're looking for something negative, oh, you're going to find it. Let me just go ahead and forewarn you. If somebody that you know finds something negative to say and tells you about it, just go ahead and mark it down in your heart. You're talking to a disgruntled, backslidden person. And you can tell them if you want to, it won't bother me. They'll say, you know what? The preacher told me that you're probably a disgruntled and a backslidden person. And that ought to put the lockjaw on some of that, hadn't it? You'll hear tires squealing when they hit the brakes. Amen. Let's go back to the Bible. Amen. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. That word beheld, have you ever tried to look it up? If you do, you probably won't find it. Not even in 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary. It's past tense of the word behold. To behold something, to see something, to admire something, to get a vision of something. Have you ever noticed that in the days that we live in, there's a lot of replica things made. A lot of replica things. Forgive me if you need to. If you don't need to, don't worry about it. But if you need to, just forgive me. I like guns. I like old-looking guns. I do. And there's a couple of gun manufacturers that really make a lot of guns that look like older guns. Rossi, I think, is one of them that makes guns. And they make pistols that look like something like Wyatt Earp would have carried. I mean, they make stuff. You can get a coach gun that looks like from way back in the day with the rabbit ears and everything. I like stuff like that. But you got to have a visual of something like that to know how to appreciate it. Visual aids are used. It can be an object, a model, if you will. Pictures, charts, maybe a map. In Sunday school class, these kids in the younger Sunday school classes, I don't know, maybe Sister Martha teaches young age, Sister Tiffany has the younger age, and a lot of the Sunday school classes used to be, they would have like, how many of y'all remember, like a flannel board on the wall? And they would be objects to stick to that flannel board and give those kids like a visual aid to help them to understand different things. So we look at stuff, go to school, and learning their times tables. Does anybody know their times tables tonight? Amen. But Tim, thank you. I was looking at you. Well, somebody in front of you is smiling. What's he smiling about over there? Amen. Uh-oh. But Gary said, nope, don't even do it. Don't do it. Times tables. All right. Look at, well, where's Castle at? He knows time. All time tables. He don't know nothing how to sleep in church. I'm a comforting preacher. I help people to relax so much in church, they go right to sleep. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I can do that. Amen. I'm talking about, hey, in school, one of the things that'll help you. Is anybody here in the first grade? Anybody in the first grade? First grade? Second grade? Boom. Luca, you're in the second grade? Do you know what a flashcard is? Do you? They kind of help you in school a little bit, don't they? Those flashcards, you look at them and maybe study up a little bit on your timetables. And you know, by the time you get out of second grade, you'll be multiplying 12 times 12, 12 times 11. Well, maybe not. Some of y'all look like, I don't want to. They taught us stuff like that when I was in the third grade. I'm sorry. In the third grade. We had to learn all that kind of stuff. But it's a visual aid. It's a help. You know, with the technology we have today, if you can read, you can do just about anything. Now, you can be a mechanic. If you can read, and you got YouTube, That helps out a lot. You can do just about anything. You can build a house if you can read and learn how to do it. I'm looking at this right here, and I'm saying we're right here in this verse we just read that Jesus became a visual aid to a people that had heard He was coming, but maybe they hadn't ever met Him just yet. Well, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah said He's coming. He's coming. For unto us the Son is born, unto us a child is given. And it tells about what He's like and who He is and what His name will be. And then all of a sudden, one day in the book of John in chapter number 1, bam, here's this visual aid pops up. And now here He is. Now you can see Him. Now if you want to, you can shake hands with Him. I wonder how many people shook hands with a Savior and still didn't believe He was who He said He was. I wonder how many people just walked up to Him and said, "We know Thou art the Christ." Never shook His hand, never met Him before, but there was just something different about Him. Thank God, aren't you glad for the good day? Whenever you met Him and you knew something was different about Him, and you said, "I love Him, I don't know nothing about Him, but I'm telling you He's different, and I believe with all my heart He can help me." He became a visual aid. He became a visual aid. People needed some understanding. People needed some understanding. The Bible says this, "And we beheld His glory." The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Not just a man's glory, but His glory. And it was the glory as of the only begotten as of the Father. We see the visual aid that He's given us right here in this text. We beheld His glory. The flash card went off, Brother Darnell. The representation of the Spirit of God in a man to let us know this ain't a regular man. Can I tell you, if you want to be a witness for Christ, He's going to have to get to be a real witness in you. We can't tell people about somebody we don't know nothing about. We can't brag on somebody that ain't never been good to us enough to. We got to know Him is what I'm trying to say. He's got to be real big down in here. He's got to be all that matters down in here. He's got to be what I want to talk about when I wake up in the morning and what I want to talk about when I lay down at night. He has got to be the center of my life before I can ever persuade somebody, whether it's a man or a woman in America or on the mission field or wherever it's at, before I can persuade somebody that God means a lot to me, that Christ means a lot to me, He's going to have to mean a lot to me. Amen. Until that time, I'll just be going through a process. Just what you doing? Just rehearsing. Just rehearsing. Maybe one day He'll mean a lot to me. For now, I'm just rehearsing. You know, people can tell whenever it don't mean much to you. Young people can tell when it ain't real to you. I want them to know that He's real to me. He's real to me. I beheld His glory. The glory is only as of the only begotten of the Father. As a visual aid. I saw a visual aid. Somebody else got a glimpse of Him. In the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, verse number 24 and verse number 25. The Bible said, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in the haste and spake and said unto the counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto him, unto the king, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." How did he know? How did he know? I believe it's this, Brother Jeff. I believe that 4th man stood out. I believe that 4th man was different than them 3 men. I believe them 3 men was filled with faith, and them 3 men was filled with trust, and them 3 men might even been on their knees, looked like they were praying in the midst of a fire. But the Bible said they come out, and they wasn't on their clothes and bothered, wasn't nothing hurt, wasn't nothing scorched, whatever on them. But that one man right there standing up, that one man being an example, I'm trying to say tonight, if there's ever been somebody that could give you a good visual aid. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll help me. He'll help you. He'll help us. He'll do what we need done. He'll take care of us like we need taken care of. He will be whatever it is I need to be in my life so that I can be the example when I walk out them doors to a lost and dying world. I want to be different. I know, don't say it. You're probably sitting there thinking, who you are. I want to be different for Christ. Brother Darnell, I want to be different. I'm not going to be somebody. I'm not going to be a Christian on Sunday and not a Christian on Monday. I've met people, help me now if you can a little bit. I've met people that claim the name of Jesus on Sunday. You've seen them at work on Monday. It was all they could do to keep them cussing. You've seen them at their house. They talk to their wife like a dog. You've seen them down at the store. They'd fuss and complain. See them at the restaurant. They'd complain about everything that was ordered on the menu. I think, good night, man. I mean, thank God it's food. Eat it. Eat it. You say, but it's a little bit tough. Well, throw it away and don't say nothing. Amen. I can't eat with folk like that. I'm telling you, Gary, I go to a restaurant, somebody stows out in a restaurant over to food like that, that's my last trip with them. I can't do it. You said, I'll go with you. They better make mine right. Well, hey, it's up to you. Might be last trip with me. Amen. You think I'm kidding? Try me. I'd go with you. Next time you ask, I would have went with you again. But you just showed out the last time. I can't. My testimony's on the line. I witnessed to too many women, too many men in a restaurant waiting on us to act like I'm unthankful. Oh, by the way, the next step after that, Paul told Timothy, the next step after that being unthankful? Unholy. Unholy. I'm telling you, Nebuchadnezzar saw a visual. He got a glimpse of the Son of God. That's exactly what he called him. He says, he looks like the Son of God. I'm thinking, man, how did he know? I ain't never found nothing that was Christian-like in Nebuchadnezzar. But he knew what the Son of God was supposed to look like. And that world out there where you and I live and walk and talk every day, they know what a Christian is supposed to look like. And if I don't portray that, I'm telling you, it's a poor testimony on this church. If I don't portray it, Brother Larry, they'll tell it. They'll tell it. And if you don't portray it, they'll still tell it. They'll still tell it. I see a visual aid. In education, our understanding, our flashcards, our flannel graphs, pictures and charts and maps that we can get an idea. How many of us has always, we look at a place to, we might be going, the first thing we'll do, we'll pull it up on MapQuest just to see right where it's at and how long does it take to get there? Or Google Maps or whatever it is, Google Maps. How long it takes to get there from my house. I do. I may be still on MapQuest. I don't know. If they still got that, I don't know. I got a map something. Amen. It might be the Google. But I know this. I can get a visual aid of how long it'll take me to prepare for that trip. I can get a visual aid of what it looked like for a lost man to see the Son of Man, the Son of God, standing in a fiery furnace. And then I want you to notice this. I can get a visual aid of when the Word was made flesh. Right here. And the Word was made flesh. John said this over in the book of 1 John. He said, there are three that beareth record. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you this? They bear witness. The Bible says this about the three of them. They agree. What the Father said, the Word said, that's good. What the Word says, that's good. The Holy Ghost said, yes, it is. They agreed. They agreed. You know, that's where it's supposed to be in church. That's where it's supposed to be. Will anybody agree with me that the Lord's been doing something? Has the Lord been, Sister Becky ain't been joined to church, but just about a couple months now. Wow, time goes by fast. I told somebody about somebody getting saved. I said, they've been saved for maybe a month or two and turned out to be about 4 or 5 years. I lose track of time. I'm telling you that. A-G-E, that's all it is, okay? That's all it is. But I mean, she ain't joined church just a couple months ago, and this morning her and her husband both, and the baby's sitting right, grandbaby's sitting right here on the front row. I'm telling you, I just want to shout just because of that. I mean, God doing something in the church. You say, why all of a sudden is God doing something in the church? Has anybody thought that beside me? Why all of a sudden? Anybody thought that beside me? Anybody got an answer? Well, I ain't either. But I know this. Hear me and hear me well. If we'll stay right here, somebody, we'll stay on these knees. If you'll act like Darnell Robinson, when that invitation is given, go to that altar every time. Brother Darnell ain't all that wicked. I mean, he's prayed himself clean too many times. But he's praying for people. And he's praying for the church. And he's praying for his family. Well, y'all know people. And y'all got a church. And you got family. And it might be that some of your family that goes to this church, the devil might be after them, trying to pull them out. Hey, trying to pull them out and get them out there, trying to get them away from here. I know he's in here. I look around and see too many people distracted while I'm preaching loud enough to wake the dead. And they're still distracted. It's got to be the enemy doing that. Brother Leo, it's got to be the enemy coming by and saying, hey, he's probably singing. How many of y'all know he could sing? How many of y'all know he was the first choir leader? Did you know he's still singing? I believe this is one of his favorite songs. If y'all... Excuse me. Little allergies. She has turned me down. I was fixing to sing and she has turned me down. Wow. My help me. What about that? One preacher said like this. I believe this is what he's saying, though. If he can sing for you. Are you ready? She's fixing to take notes on it. She's got a pad ready. Are you ready? He'd probably sing like this. He'd go, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Little baby, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Little church members, no, he wouldn't be hollering because that'd make you wake up. But if there's one thing that he wants us to do in our Christian life is go to sleep. And quit doing anything for God. Brother Mickey, God wants us to keep on. We beheld his glory. I don't know about you, but on that Thursday night when I got saved, I got a real good visual, Brother Gary, of a crucified Savior hanging on the cross, beaten, smitten, and crucified for me. I've seen pictures over these past 51 years of being saved. I've seen pictures of so many different artists drawing what they thought the Lord Jesus looked like when he was crucified. I don't know if one of them's ever come close. But I did see one that I thought, wow. And this man was so beaten, body so mutilated, flesh so torn, and looked as though he was so dismembered, that honestly, looking at that picture, you couldn't tell if it was his front side or his back. I would say that all of that blood was shed for that. In that. And I can say that all that he went through right there in this visual that you now have, he did it for you. He did it for me. I ain't never had nobody do nothing like that for me. I've had people all over the country call me friend. They've even told me, Brother Tyler, they said, if you ever need me, you call me. But they ain't nobody ever done nothing like that. Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. Wow, what a God. So why would you make something look so gross and so heartbreaking? Because you need, I need a visual. I need to know what Jesus went through for me. Because one day, maybe not today, maybe not, what is the day, the 23rd? 4th. 24th. Maybe not the 24th of March. But one day, you're going to walk out them doors and he's going to persuade you to want to quit. He's going to let somebody say something to you that's going to cross you the wrong way. And you're going to say, you know what? I ain't coming back. I don't have to have people talk to me like that. I don't have to put up with that kind of stuff. And every one of us are cut out of the same mold. You think, I don't never think like that. I'd like to differ with you on that one. We've all got tender spots. We've all got places, but Scott, we've all got places that if we're gouged just right, it hurts so bad. I mean, it'd be beyond devastation to us. A good friend of mine, Brother John Dale, went in for a procedure one day, and one of the things that he had to have done was they had to give him a shot in his spine, and he literally they laid him not face down on a table. But because of how he was supposed to be standing, he had to walk up to the table and lay over it. I guess so it would stretch those vertebrae apart to open up for that needle. Now, I'm not one of these. I couldn't explain all this kind of stuff to you. You need a doctor or a nurse or something. I don't, or be able to read. But here's what he told me. It's what Brother John told me. And I ain't got no reason to doubt him. He said, Brother Edward, when I laid over across that table, he says, and they stuck that needle in my back. He said, I could feel it whenever it hit my spine and started going up in through my spine. He says, and I'm telling you, God bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said, I thought I was fixing to die. It was so painful. Seconds later, they could pull that out and you couldn't look at him and tell he had just got a shot. Hanging on the cross until they took Christ down, he bore the marks of my shame. I'm trying to give you a visual. Because if you're going to behold His glory, if you're going to understand what He has went through for me and for you, we can't let TV laugh it off.
No.
We can't let CNN joke it away.
No.
We can't let the news media think that it's the bigger deal for the election coming up. I don't care what comes in our lives in the year 2024, 25, 26, through 2099, if it be. Nothing is more important than getting the glimpse of the Son of God.
Amen.
Nothing. Because if I can get a glimpse of Him today, I can tell somebody about Him tomorrow. On my job. From my house. In the store. Somebody there. Somebody I'm going to pass. Says, Lindsay, I walk in Dollar General. I walk in Publix. I walk in Walmart. And I might be going to get a gallon of milk, but I'm looking for somebody that wants to hear about Jesus. I'm not just trying to confine this to the meat section over there. I'm not just trying to keep this just over there to the pastries. That whole place, wherever I go, every day of my life is a mission field. I say, let's tell it. This week, will you do this with me? Let's tell everybody we can. Everybody. You say, well, I don't know if I can do that or not. I don't know if I just got some stuff I need to get over. Well, get over you. Because it's you.
Amen.
It ain't me.
Right.
Yes. Praise God, I tickled death. Brother Larry brought them chocolate-covered donuts into breakfast this morning. And he didn't come just donuts. He brought milk. Whole milk. I know he's a Christian. Grits and eggs and sausage and McMuffins. Oh, my goodness, it was all so good. And you know what a real blessing was? For the preacher, hear me, for the preacher to speedily, quickly finish eating my meal and then to get up and look around and see everybody else enjoying the fellowship of everybody else. God prepared the hearts this morning over there before we got in here. I say, bless the name of the Lord.
Amen.
This week, tell somebody. This week, call them and say, hey, we need you. Call Danielle. That's a long way. Call her. Say, hey, we need you. I want you to be here. I want you to bring the family. I want you to bring the kids. Call everybody you know. You say, where will we put them? Don't worry about that. And if there is very little room, slide in. Slide in. Just slide in. Y'all married, you can sit closer if you need to. And that's Mom, you can slide down right beside her. Brother Richard and his mother want to slide back already. Look at him. Amen, brother. Thank you. For sinners. Let's do it. Let's all stand together.